14, and it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Word of God for the people of God. When I look at this text, obviously it talks about leaving things behind and moving forward, but we all as Christians should be striving for that goal, striving to be more like Christ each day of our lives, because that is the goal. The goal is to be more like Christ. And one of the only ways we can really do that is by forgetting our past, forgetting our old ways of living, because the old is gone and the new has come, and the new birth in Christ. We are called to leave those things behind and move forward, press forward, and entering into what is ahead in our lives with Christ. And as we begin the new year, I found this verse to be rather fitting. Paul, if you're familiar with Paul, I know most of us are, but if you're not, Paul was likely thinking of his own past when he was writing some of this this text here in Philippians. Because if you think you had a crazy past, or if you think your past is too wild, God would never love you, that is not true at all. Paul was out killing and chasing down to persecute Christians. That was what he did. He was out just damaging, trying to end the what they would call some kind of uprising of this Christ followers. But instead, on his way to Damascus, had this dramatic conversion where Christ appeared to him and told him to follow him and go and reach the Gentiles with the love of Christ and who Christ is and take it to them. And so Paul was probably thinking back, you know, I have to leave all this behind and move forward and keep planting these churches and keep taking Christ to people. And I believe in as we begin the new year, I think what's our church mission is bring Christ to people and people to Christ. That's what we should be doing each and every day as we step into this new year. You know, I was thinking about maybe somebody I knew personally that had some kind of dramatic conversion, and I have some, but then I remembered something from years ago. There's a guy named Alice Cooper. Does anybody know who Alice Cooper is? You know who this is? He was a rocker from the 70s and the 80s. And Alice Cooper, he looked like the devil sometimes at his concerts. He had, you know, blood and snakes and all this crazy stuff all the time. And even had this like kind of demonic looking stuff all over the stage when he would sing in his albums. Well, guess what? This guy became a Christian. You want to talk about a dramatic conversion? This guy who looked like the devil himself had turned to Christ. And he said something that reminded me of kind of where we could be this year. He says, drinking beer is easy. Trashing your hotel is easy. Being a Christian is a tough call. True Christianity is a rebellion against the culture. He says, we have to make a choice. Everybody at some point in their lives must make that choice. When people say, why do you believe Christianity? Why do you believe this? He says, nothing else in my entire life spoke to my heart, right deep into my soul, deeper than anything I'd ever thought of. And it means that you have to depend on someone else. And who's that? Christ. And he says, we're never going to be perfect. I think everybody in here can admit, we're never going to be perfect. Anybody going to be perfect? No. But he said, none of us are going to be perfect, you know, and it made, when that was the end of the quote, but it made me think that, you know, but because Christ is perfect and makes us perfect by his life, death, and resurrection, we can live into that knowing who we are in Christ and forget what was behind us, that old way of living, that who we were before, and move forward into this life that Christ has called us to as Christians. And we should be continually moving forward into our relationship with Christ. And kind of, there's another Paul verse here, talking about casting, I believe it's Paul, casting out anything that hinders us and moving forward. Because if we do that, we'll be able to get even closer to Christ. So what are some things that we need to leave behind in 2023? This year, what are some things that we want to leave behind? What do you want to leave behind? The first one I come up with is sin and bad habits. Sin and bad habits. You know, we all have this one, both of them, sin and bad habits. Each one of us has that. We're not perfect. And we may need to admit that sometimes. Maybe we need to admit that we have some kind of sin in our lives. Maybe we need to admit that it needs to be removed from our life, you know. We're not going to be perfect, but if we're going on to perfection, going on to that, to heaven, the spiritual realms, then we need to weed out some of that sin and bad habits in our lives, you know. I was thinking about, you know, how sin, it may be some kind of sin that's defeating you, something that feels defeating, and you just can't, you don't know how you're going to get out of it. You don't know how you're going to change. You don't know what's going to, how you're going to get past these some of these sin issues you may have. But it may be something to right now, each year you're thinking to yourself. You're like, oh yeah, I need to cut back this. I need to cut back in this area. I need to stop doing these things. You know, maybe that's what you're thinking right now. You know, like, what is this sin in my life? You know, I think we all have to come back to that each day. What do I need to change? How do I need to get better? How am I going to grow closer to Christ? What do I need to cast out and cast aside? You know, we can even be like Paul in Romans 7:15. Says, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Anybody feel that? I think that's something we can all resonate with. And as we look at like Paul, who wrote all these epistles and was one of the great apostles of the faith, even he had these problems that he did things he didn't want to do. He couldn't figure out why. He knew why, but it's the sin nature as it goes on through there. But you know, I don't want to do these things, but I still do them at times. Like, how can I get past this? And later on in that chapter, he goes on to talk about how, thank God for sending Jesus to free us from the power of sin and death. That's how we can get through it. Sounds very easy. Well, you ever heard somebody, you having a problem, somebody says, just give it to Jesus. Sounds real easy, but it's not easy. But we do know that Jesus can deliver us from these sins. Jesus can deliver us, and we can take hope in Christ, who has defeated that power of sin and death in our lives. What we need to do is we must lay it down at his feet and say, I cannot do this, God. I cannot. It has to be you. You are the only one that can get me through these issues. And God can get you through any sin issue, any sin struggle, if you just let him. What we need to do is just take whatever those burdens we have and lay them at the foot of the cross this year. Start the year. You know, some of us have bad habits. Who has bad habits? I have bad habits. I'll go ahead and tell you. But some of these bad habits, you could be judging people too much. You could have spite. You could have anger. You could have bitterness. Bite your fingernails, like me, or whatever it is. A lot of us have these bad habits, but we are called to be the light of the world. You think if you're going around judging people or being angry at people or having a bad attitude, that's not being the light of the world, is it? You know, that's what we're called to be, is the light of the world. So maybe we need to like reflect and see some things that we can cut out of our own lives to become better Christ followers. The second thing this morning is leave behind failures. Leave behind failures. And we've all had failures, each one of us. Maybe it was a bad decision. Maybe you hurt someone. Maybe whatever it is, there's all kind of ways we can fail. Maybe you were trying to do something big and it just fell flat on its face. So, you know, just yesterday, my team failed to win the championship this year. Y'all know I had to bring that up at some point. But there's something about failure that we have to remember that a lot of us, I know I used to have this issue in my life, is I thought failure was defined who I was. We have to remember that failure does not define who we are. You know, we don't fail because we are personally failures. I think some people, we all need to hear that this morning. We don't fail because we are a failure. You know, one of my old pastors said that, you know, he had to learn that failure is just an event. Failure is an event. It's not you. I'll say that again. Failure is just an event. It is not who you are. And that's something I think we need to be reminded of often. So we think when we fail that we personally are failures, but that is not the case. You know, failure and can be used as a step towards success, to some goal in your life. That's what it should be, is a step towards success. You know, it's not the problem. Failure is not the problem. Learning from that failure is a bigger problem. If we learn through our failures, then we can go towards success in our faith and in life in general. You know, I was thinking of some people in this world that were at one point failures. Who knows Steve Jobs? Anybody know Steve Jobs, founder of Apple or Macintosh? He was fired from his own company. Later on, he came back. They let him back in. And everybody in here, or maybe not everybody, a lot of us have one of these in our pocket, don't we? That's because he let that failure he had not define him, but moved him forward. And then now he's a success, and we give him lots of money for cell phones every year, or his company. But you see that you can't let failure define you, because failure can lead to major success. You know, I know personally, I should understand failure leads to success a lot. I was a baseball player. If you're familiar with baseball, the best players who ever lived and are in the Hall of Fame failed 70% of the time when they were trying to hit a baseball. You know, 300 batting average is considered really, really good. And like Mickey Mantle failed 70-some percent of the time. You know, all these, Mike Trout, who's the best player currently in baseball, they fail 70% of the time, but they use that to get better down the road. And that's why they use that failure to lead to more success. And the third thing this morning is that move forward in our spiritual life. Now we've leave some things behind, but now we need to move forward in our spiritual life. You know, if we neglect our spiritual life, it's going to weaken. But what better time than a new year to start, get back on track and start strengthening that spiritual life. You know, as an example, if you don't go to the gym for a long time, then your muscles will be weaker, might get a little more thicker in this area. So just the same with our faith. If we don't practice daily, if we don't practice studying the scriptures and understanding who Christ is for us, we can get out of shape spiritually. And that's normally when we can start having more failures and more sin issues than we would want. You know, we must practice these spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines, and continue to grow in our faith each day. You know, being complacent. Anybody ever became complacent in anything? Oh, I know all this. I remember when I was in college, I was like, you know, I know all this Bible stuff. I don't have to look at it anymore. That's not how it works. You stop looking at it, stop being on your mind, and then the next thing you know, you're not living for Christ as you should be. So it's very important to maintain the discipline of studying the scripture and not becoming complacent or negligent to that. You know, constantly studying the scriptures, because the only way we're going to understand what God wants us to do, how he wants us to live, how he wants us to interact with others, the only way we're going to do that is if we study it and have it on our hearts and minds constantly. And we won't know how to respond in certain scenarios if we're not focused on the scriptures and who God is. I think of in our culture today, oftentimes we won't know how to, if you don't study the scripture, you won't know how to respond to certain things. You know, the Bible itself is God's word. It's unfailing, it's hope-filled, it's true, and it's never changing. It's another big word, it's immutable, but it's a never changing. It's always said what it says. We just need to reflect on it constantly so we can try and understand that and how the Holy Spirit leads us as we read the scriptures ourselves. Because if we don't know what it says, how are we supposed to respond to sin in our lives? How are we supposed to respond to people in our lives that have questions about spirituality or questions about who Jesus is to us? If you don't know it, you're not going to be able to answer those questions. So I know oftentimes we're like, well, you know, I'll get around to it. It's like, remember I said I don't do resolutions? Because normally that gets to, oh, I'll get around to it. Or I'll start tomorrow, or the next day. I'll start tomorrow. Or on Mondays is the only day you can start new things. Well, I got to wait till next Monday. I didn't do it. So we can't be like that. We can't get around to it. When it comes to growing in your faith, you got to start right now. You know, set up some kind of routine or plan to remind you to read so you can start to understand the Bible more. Maybe it's just simple as first thing when I wake up, I'm going to look at the Bible app on my phone, or I'm going to open up my Bible and read a couple of half a chapter of Romans or whatever you're looking at it during the time. You know, I'm going to find something that I can pull out to start my day. Or maybe it's before you go to bed, you have your Bible sitting there on your bedstand and it reminds you that, okay, I need to read a little bit of this before I go to bed. Or whenever that is, those are some easy ways to maybe to remind you to start getting into that. But, you know, it doesn't mean, there's another thing I was thinking about when it comes to getting to know your faith. So, a lot of people just like to get on Google, and whatever they pull up on Google, it's what, this must be right. This is Google. Google told it to me. If you've ever seen those, you know, I was thinking that like 80% of people get their news or facts from the internet memes or the internet. I made that percentage up, so I don't know if that's true, but it seems like it, right? People get their facts and things from some image somebody puts on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever. Instead of really going to look into what's the Bible say? This is what this person said, but what does the Bible say? Let me go read it myself. So this year, let's start practicing reading scripture more. Really make a commitment to getting in to know what God's word says so we can begin to live our lives for Christ. Then we start praying more. And this is a big one that we oftentimes like to overlook. Maybe we need to start forgiving more. Forgiving people that have wronged us. Maybe we need to ask for forgiveness. That's something that's very difficult, but something we should do. All right. Practice hospitality. Radical hospitality. Now, I worked at Chick-fil-A. I was actually listening to something earlier. I got somebody from Chick-fil-A was talking about how they started saying, my pleasure. I know you all know that. You go to Chick-fil-A, they give you your food. Thank you, it's my pleasure. They started doing that so people would feel like it was more formal than saying you're welcome. But my pleasure, it made you feel more attached to that business and like, man, these people really care about me. It's their pleasure that they serve me. Even if you don't think that, you do subconsciously know that. And after working there, it's true. People at Chick-fil-A really do care. Something happened, they go out and replace somebody's tire in the middle of their shift or whatever it was, because that's radical hospitality, and I believe that's something that we could get better at. But I think we do a great job of that here at Coatesbury, but there's always room for improvement, always getting better, always being more welcoming and loving of those around us. And get the Bible app. If you do have one of Steve Jobs' devices or any device, you can download the Bible app, and in the Bible app, it can even send you a reminder that you need to read the Bible today. And that's and it's free and it's great. But if you don't have a smartphone, remember to read your Bible. Place it in a place that it'll remind you each day. When you wake up, roll over to hit your alarm clock. Well, there's your Bible. Maybe that's how you do it. Anyway to start getting into the Word more, because there's always time to read Scripture. There's always time. Remember, oftentimes I'm like, well, there's not enough time. I don't have time to do it. Oh, you have plenty of time to do it. So maybe you need to start making that a habit. And part of spiritual renewal is also renewing our minds. Renewing our minds. Maybe your prayer is that God would renew your mind to his ways this year. That's part of spiritual renewal, is constantly renewing our mind to be more like Christ's mind and more like following what the Bible says and following how can I be like more like Christ to the people around me in my life. So make this year a time of pressing forward into spiritual growth, not looking back at your failures, not looking back at the sin concerns you've had in the past, but looking forward into the spiritual growth so that we can leave behind these bad habits, stop doing things we might need to stop doing, and really step into who Christ is in our lives and how we can represent that to others. So each year, as I'm wrapping up the sermon, each year on the John Wesley, actually they used to do this multiple times a year, but as tradition went along, they started the first Sunday of January every year. John Wesley, and in the Methodist tradition, is to go over what they call the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer. It's a prayer to commit to the year in order to follow Christ as we should. So I'm going to ask everyone to recite this with me. It should be on the screen. But say, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you, or set aside for you, praised for you, or criticized for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Amen.